Welcome to the Peace Growth Here podcast. I'm your host, Yelena Theofilatos, with my Blooming Heart Hypnotherapy and Coaching. And this is a place for you if you're looking for business strategies, emotional wellness, advice, and stories from fellow ladies entrepreneurs. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning back to the Peace Grows Here podcast. I'm your host, Yelena Theofilatos, and today I have a psychotherapist, spiritual holistic psychotherapist with me here as a guest. And why I'm so excited, I just realized that I have never had a proper psychotherapist on my podcast before. So mind you, she is also spiritual and holistic psychotherapist. That's even an additional bonus there for me, who is also consider herself to be something along those lines, I would say.
Yes.
Her name is, yeah. I guess I'll introduce you and then I'll let you take it away. Casey Stevens, and she is tuning in from Seattle, Washington. I'm tuning in from Hawaii. And thank you so much for having us here today together.
Such a privilege to be here with you. Thanks for having me and for putting this beautiful work into the world.
Oh, thank you for being a ray in that sunshine, I would say. Sunshine. I don't really actually know what you do yet because we really only briefly interacted. I tend to know a little more about my guests. So I am just so curious about how you like weave spirituality into your practice. But even before we get there, I'm sure that we hopefully will. In a second question, the first question, like you already know, is about a story of yours, something that you lived through, something that brought you some kind of an insight, realization, something that ultimately contributed to who you are today and what you are offering to the world.
Yeah, thank you for that question. Good question. Let's see. So I would say what feels the most transformative to me is my first marriage, the marriage I was in. I got married really young in my early 20s and was in that relationship for 12 years in total. And in that relationship and how this shaped me, because this happened all before I was a therapist. My husband at that time, really had some struggles with mental health and, just some issues that I really hadn't experienced or faced before. And I didn't really know, much about. And of course you're in the middle of a marriage and you see somebody that you love deeply suffering and struggling, and you want to figure it out and help them and, just understand, what's going on so that you can move forward in a productive way. And so for me, this kind of awakening of sorts happened during this time where, of course, we had been together for, probably 10 years at that point in time. And, I just really, and he was struggling with some pretty severe kind of mental health issues that really kind of, in many ways, they had, always been there, but really they became quite acute at a particular time. And so how I started seeking was really in my codependent self before I had any healing myself was really just, oh my gosh, we've got to help you. We've got to find answers. We've got to find solutions for this. And so that started the journey of really of diving into this work, of recognizing the value, of finding really worthy practitioners, to kind of support and hold us in this space, which ultimately became me finding really worthy practitioners, because what I recognized about myself through all of that is I really recognize what my orientation to life was, which is really that I am a seeker. I want to find solutions. I want to, if I don't have answers or solutions to things, then I want to find them or find the people who do have those answers. And I really will pursue that pretty persistently, right? That is, just an awareness that I came to have about myself. And of course, I recognized all of, just I don't know, woundedness or tendencies that I had that wouldn't have emerged had I not been in those circumstances. But those tendencies, again, are always unique, right? Because depending on what the circumstances are and then who we're in partnership or who's surrounding us in those circumstances will also help to inform who we are and what then we become aware of in ourselves. And when that's a crisis type situation, it really what I recognized, above all else, right, is that I really am a seeker and that I want to find solutions and move towards those solutions. And so this trauma of a sorts really, I recognize that the orientation that I had to that really was one of post-traumatic growth. And so I wanted to seek and learn everything I could about myself. And so I did that. I did that, and I found people who could help hold me in a container so that I could do that. And what shifted from me being focused at that time on my husband at the time to us kind of being focused on us to really ultimately me being focused on the only thing that we can control and the only thing we have power over, right, which is ourselves. And so that was ultimately the work that I did. And I went through just a massive awakening through that process in many ways. And many details that I could go in and describe much more in depth about that. But that really was this awakening for me that the work that I did at the time was entirely different. So ultimately I realized that the relationship and the marriage, my husband at the time, by the way, was not organized in the same way, or he just couldn't be for whatever reasons. He had certain limitations that didn't allow him to organize himself in the same way. And so that became really a distancing between us, right? Where I'm here trying to seek solutions and trying to move forward and trying to find answers and really diving into that. And he was really kind of moving in the opposite direction. And so there became this division just in our relationship around that, but also my awareness about how we approached life, that our orientation, our values were different. And so that really was an awareness, and not there was certainly a period of time where I tried to force things and struggle, and I wouldn't let go of some of those tendencies that I had, but ultimately I had to surrender and really just accept what was and control, decide where I had the most agency and empowerment. And that was really only going to be in my relationship with myself. And so I just pursued that until I got clarity about just the viability of the relationship and how we could move forward or not together. And ultimately, that is what happened. And then I just dove in even deeper into kind of my own self-work. And ultimately, that meant that I wanted to go back to school and study this so that I wasn't just learning about it, but in this kind of interpersonal way, but I was really becoming a student of it in a professional way. I recognized that I just really wanted to do this work and help people do this work because I had such a worthy practitioner who helped me do that. And so that is really how it all started and I opened up just to things that I wasn't even aware of or I hadn't perhaps put my attention on historically because I hadn't needed to. But when the necessity arose, I really recognized like, wow, I want to understand this and I want to dig deep and I don't just want to do this on a surface level and I don't just want to smooth things over and make them okay. I really want to deeply understand myself and understand the world and understand the meaning and all of this. And so there began my process to help people do this work myself.
Thank you so much for sharing. A lot has come through my mind as I was listening to, because I can relate in my own way, having a partner who had struggles with mental health and I did not expect, did not anticipate, and there we were in it. And it's an interesting how people can take such different approaches to whatever is presenting itself, mental health related. I mean, it sounds like you are, like you said, you are a seeker. You go for solutions. You're curious. That's already me adding some words of my own. And it sounds like your ex-partner, just like my ex-partner as well, was of a different kind of mind. And it's sad, but inevitably it does create division. And then we have to pick and choose. And ultimately, yes, we only can control ourselves. And it's a humbling, but it's a very empowering experience in my experience, for sure.
Yeah, it's certainly never what we think, right? When we enter into a marriage or a relationship, right? It's like we have all the best intentions and all the hope in the world for that, right? And so to confront even some of those beliefs that we have about that, and that we find ourselves in a position where we may not choose that any longer, it is not light stuff, right? It is not decisions that are made lightly. But sometimes there's, real utility in being able to face those beliefs that we've had, so that we can really choose ourselves, choose our own evolvement, right? If it's not possible to remain in that relationship, that marriage, that circumstance, and not abandon ourselves, right? So we have to sometimes really look at that, and it can be very difficult. But I'm sorry to hear that you've gone through that. And I can also imagine it was an expander for you as well.
Yes, indeed it was. And it really, yeah, it's not a light decision like what you're saying, and it's tricky, and I'm sure that maybe even someone who is listening to us right now can relate. Maybe they are in the midst of it all and like, oh, okay, it's not as rare as I thought. Yep, that happens. We encounter something what our partners, husbands, spouses bring to the table that we didn't know was there, and then we have to make some decisions. And sometimes it is, and hopefully for all of those, it is expanding, like what you said. And it sounded like your story expanded into going to back to school and taking it as your profession. So where are you fast forward now with all of that?
Yeah, so I did that, I mean, I dove in deep, and gosh, that journey is full of so many kind of twists and turns, and just hard work, right? Of inner work, right? Not just the practical work or the clinical work, right? But the inner work, and the self of the therapist, right? As you move through that. And I will say, I think it has made me a better therapist, but also just having gone through all of the difficulties. And of course, I'm just scratching the surface of what that is, what it was, right? Allowed me to really lean in. And also, kind of circling back to this therapist that I had at the time to even initiate this process, that I had, first with him, and then, she became my therapist because I was, of course, the one that continued. I just loved how she practiced, because she came from this real spiritual approach. Yet she was grounded and had the practical knowledge and understanding of a psychotherapist. And I just love that combination, because I can be a real critical thinker. I want to have the psychoeducation. I don't want to be just all out in the ethereal. And yet I appreciate that she incorporated that spiritual aspect. And so for me, I really just knew I wanted to help other people would resonate with somebody who had similar things to offer. And of course, I believe we all bring our own medicine. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to seek to know who I was and how I could bring my own medicine to my own clients and help them, because I do tend to work with people who are similarly wired, right? They're definitely seekers. They're definitely people who when you're in a challenge, right, you want to persist through that challenge and garner whatever awareness and growth and opportunity we can gather from that, those experiences, and then move forward and be better because of it. Although it's very challenging to feel that at the time, right? Ultimately, it's a choice that we all have, and it's an orientation to life. And so those are just things that I recognized how highly I value them, and I wanted to be the best version of that that I could be to offer to other people, so that they could, have a container that would hold them in the same way when they were in similar spots, right? And so this has been my work, right? I mean, I've gosh, been doing it, I don't know, 13 years or so now. And I really kind of just always, recognize that I am this seeker and a student, and I always just want to expand. And so I love surrounding myself with people who are maybe approaching, mental health or consciousness or psychology from this more conscious perspective, that, isn't just even the baseline management, right, of symptoms that people are struggling with, but I really want to hold even a higher perspective about, there's a root cause of everything, and how do we take that and use it and harvest it, right, into something really meaningful in our lives that can expand us.
I never heard anybody saying it like that, harvest that. But I really chewing on that one right now, because like, oh yeah, wow, it's like talking about the gifts of insights and realizations and all of that that we can tap into, find, discover within us, especially with such modalities. Like, I believe you are practicing more of a consciousness oriented, more of a growth, as opposed to just taking care of the symptoms, so to say.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've been doing it for about 13 years, and you're like in any kind of special place with your practice now? Do you love to work with people who are like specifically seeking, the seekers themselves, or maybe there's more to like this person out there who might be listening to this podcast episode today, who might be like, "Oh, I'm curious about therapy." How would they know that you might be a good fit for them?
Good for them. Yeah. Well, I'll kind of answer this hopefully in a multidimensional way, which is just the way that it comes through. But definitely anybody who I always think we have to trust our intuition. And so, as you know, as a therapist, right, the relationship that you have with your therapist is absolutely the most important. I mean, they've studied this, right? That's the most important component to your healing rather than any other component, right? Just how well connected do you feel to your therapist? And so I believe that anybody who really resonates with anything, but certainly with this, really sacred container that we open for people where it's very vulnerable and intimate. How do you feel when you're in the presence of somebody who's holding a container for you, specifically a therapist or healer of any kind, right? So I always want people to ask those questions. And I think when people arrive and choose to work with me, it really is, I trust that they're there for a reason, that there's something divine that has brought them into my path, whether that's a referral because somebody else has resonated with the work or they've found it and energetically it feels like it aligns. And then, of course, I want people to trace and track that, and really trust what they feel and honor that, because I think that's the most important thing any of us can do. But I will say some patterns that I have in clients who happen to come forward are interesting. Definitely, there are people who are seekers. There are people who can be anywhere on their journey, really, but many times they're people who are having spiritual awakenings of sorts. They want to have a guide or have somebody under help them to understand the process who's already, walked that journey before. And so certainly those are clients who come forward and tend to work, because yeah, they might again be having some kind of radical spiritual awakening and it's confusing and it kind of ejects you from your life. And so those tend to be people who come and find me. I would also say many people who find me are people who have tried other more conventional therapy before or many healing modalities, and they're really ready to kind of be at a more advanced stop on that journey, and maybe it hasn't resonated, or they haven't felt understood, or it's felt, just like it didn't resonate with them, and so they're wanting something maybe more advanced, or they've done a lot of work already and they're ready to go even deeper. So those are also people who tend to find me. And then just interesting patterns I found. I work with a lot of people in conventional Western medicine. So doctors, therapists, psychiatrists, nurses, people like that are a huge base that I have happened to find me. And it's because they're wanting real mentorship or guidance in terms of opening up their spiritual self or the holistic way. It's like, okay, I've already got the traditional training. I understand the Western world, the science, all of that. And what I really want to incorporate that feels lost to me is this mystical quality. And I want to be able to incorporate my spiritual self into the work that I'm bringing. And so that tends to be a huge base of people who have just, and these are just patterns, right, that I've identified of like, oh, yeah, a lot of people, find me and want to work in this way to help. I can help guide them right into this spiritual or holistic element and how to work with people and hold them in a similar way. And then finally, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, which is interesting because I know that's a lot of your community too. So I work with men. I know you specialize with women, but I work with men, I work with women, and they tend to be really like extraordinarily successful people, right? Who have found tremendous success professionally, financially, in all of this way. And what they want after they've kind of have it all is there's some element in their interpersonal life that they really are like, okay, these are exceptional people who have done exceptional things, and they want to figure out how to make their kind of in individual personal lives, their intimate lives, their relational lives more exceptional. And so that's kind of, I mean, certainly there are outliers and people who find me who are maybe don't quite fit those descriptions, or they fit them partially, but that is a huge base of who comes to work with me. So I'll actually have a lot of men who are in that realm, certainly some women as well. But I work with a lot of men who are, predominant, right, in their industries, who are entrepreneurs, who are successful, in many rights, but they're looking to kind of have a well-rounded life and meaning in all the ways, not just in this particular way that they've been successful. And so they seek me out in that. And then, of course, I work with couples as well who are just, wanting more conscious relationships. So I would say those are, I know it's kind of a random spattering, but really there is such an interconnection, and it's just the patterns and the energetics that I've noticed of people who tend to find me and resonate really well with the work that I do.
It all sounded pretty connected.
Right.
Yeah, there's definitely like a unifying element to it all, the interests, the one that you help them develop, go deeper on. So I hope that if you are someone listening to this episode and that's you who just talked about it, and or you have a friend who is kind of spiritually curious but don't know where to start and ready for some maybe therapy work as well and connected to it, maybe Casey is your person. Just saying. Sweet. Well, only one more question I have for you, and we have about 7 minutes or so for that.
Okay.
Self-care. Like, I'm sure somehow I have a feeling that you have a lot of different things that you can say about that. But maybe you can give us a couple of tips and tricks that maybe you yourself utilize on a regular basis, or maybe it's a like something from your spiritual practice itself. Feel free.
Yes. Well, I would say my greatest tool that I have in my self-care is really, well, number one, I would say it's this orientation that I have come to be very good at because I used to be terrible at it. Which is that I really am very self-honoring. And so I know what it feels like when I am self-honoring. And certainly I can slip in and out of, my perfection in that, right? But it really is this orientation that if I'm not well, if I'm depleted, if I haven't resourced myself, if I haven't taken good care of myself, then I'm really not going to be of any utility to anyone else. And I say this from getting to a very depleted place where I had those codependent tendencies and I really would self-abandon and sacrifice so much of my own needs in order to feed in this even particular situation, right? My former And so, what I've really learned, and sometimes people have just a complicated relationship with this, so I really do understand when they do, is so often we'll be self-abandoning in this way. We'll kind of, and as women, we can do that, right? It's just sort of even how society kind of teaches us how to be, which is putting others first. And so, people struggle with it because they will think that it's selfish. And really, the language I always use with people around it is like, how do we recognize that it's really self-honoring and that that has to be our priority, that our tending to ourselves and really listening to that is the most important step that we can take so that we can actually be more resourced, right, to give to others, whether that's our relationships or our clients or our business or the world or whatever, framework that is. And so self-honoring, I would say, would be just recognizing when I'm, self-abandoning or I'm not doing a whole or complete job right of self-honoring. And then I would say really tuning into, for me, a practice that I've gotten really good at is just honoring my intuition. And so instead of having a specific practice, it's like, okay, how do I slow down and really listen to my body? Really listen to any messages that are coming through, and what do I need in this moment? Because, what I needed this morning might be different than what I need right now, might be different than what I need tomorrow or this afternoon or whatever. And so I really make it a practice, when I notice that I'm off kilter in some way or out of balance, to really listen. What intuitively do I need? What does my body need? What do the different levels of my being need? And how do I honor and tend to that? And so usually slowing down and listening is always the first step. And then honoring, following through, taking action, the conscious right action to give ourselves what we know we need. And so I really make it a practice. I think this is the best self-care tool that I have, is really putting that, slowing down, taking the time, listening to myself, and then following through with what I get as soon as I can, right? If it's available to me, and it's always a choice and it's always available in my perspective, right? We just have to make the space for it. Then how do I follow through and actually take the conscious right action to give myself what I need? So I just listen. And sometimes those are things that I can do in terms of self-care. And I just have to listen to what those are that I can give to myself. And sometimes it's really recognizing when I need somebody else to hold a container for me. And so, gosh, I need support in this, or I need somebody to hold me in this way, or gosh, I need some body work, or I need, whatever that might be in order to put myself back in balance, because it might be out of my reach or out of my wheelhouse or out of, my pay grade or whatever that is, right? And so I need to listen and then honor whatever I know. And I think for me, those are the best practices that I have. I certainly take time in stillness multiple times a day, right? But just recognizing, okay, if I'm feeling a bit off, I really have to slow down. I have to go inward and I have to listen, and then I have to honor what I receive. That's what I would say. What do you do?
Stillness and checking in with ourselves, making sure that we are resourced and resourceful enough so that we can show up for other people. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope that resonates or with somebody, right? Just to so many ways to approach it, right? But mine is a very organic, intuitive approach.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way we might do that, taking care of ourselves, can be different on any given day. The main point is to make sure that we're not abandoning ourselves, because a lot of women do in codependent or not relationship. Sometimes we abandon ourselves to our businesses or kids or whatever else is out there in the world, and it's very important as a reminder, just to bring it back to yourself, give back to yourself. Yeah, so much goodness we generated. Thank you so much for coming. It was very nurturing, nourishing, and inspiring to listen to your story and all of your tips and tricks.
Thank you so much for having me, Elena. I really appreciate you being here and all that you do.
Hey, may we continue spread the love, so to say, introduce people to what I believe is the most important thing is ultimately spirituality, like some kind of a holistic way of approaching this reality that is uplifting. And with that said, of course, want to dedicate the merit, as we call it in Buddhism. I'm not gonna speak for all Buddhists, but those that I know, we say following things when we close our practice, we dedicate the positive energy, the goodness, the value, the usefulness, or whatever just transpired. Usually it's our meditation, our prayer to all beings in the world being better. May it ripple out somehow in a way that we might not know of as of right now, but may somehow every being out there be better off because of this.
Thank you. I love that sentiment. Thank you so much.
Yay, thank you for joining me with that as well, on that as well. And thank you, dear listener, for being on this journey with us today. I hope you got some great ideas and insights and inspiration, then that you're gonna go on and have an amazing rest of your day, and I'll talk to you in the next episode. And if you like this episode, you can help me to spread the word about it. Feel free to leave a review and share about it with a friend. I really appreciate your support. Thank you.